Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, August 13th. I'm Ray Graff. It's a physical therapy doubleheader today. Joining us this afternoon is physical therapist Matthew Goodemote and massage therapist Laura Brown, a woman with the strongest hands in the Western Hemisphere. For the last 15 minutes or so, she's been entertaining our front office staff by turning charcoal into diamonds with her bare hands. It's true. The number here is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. If you have a physical therapy question or a massage therapy question, you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Matthew Goodemote and Laura Brown, and your calls coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today is Matthew Goodemote, a respected orthopedic physical therapist with over 25 years of experience. He specializes in treating back and neck pain and sports injuries. He's the founder of Goodemote Sports and Performance, where he works with active individuals and collaborates with local high schools to establish strength and conditioning programs designed to optimize athletic performance and reduce injury risks. We also learn about deep tissue massage today with another person who's been on this show several times, massage therapist Laura Brown of Capital Region Therapeutic Massage in Clifton Park. Laura has a master's in physical therapy and is a licensed member of the American Massage Therapy Association with over 29 years' experience. Our number, if you have a physical and or massage therapy question, is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Laura Brown, it's been too long. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me today.
How are things over at the shop?
Very good. Very nice. Yes, very exciting. I've got new tricks up my sleeve thanks to some advanced certification this past spring, and I'm putting them into practice, and it's very exciting.
Now, what are the new tricks? Without going into great detail, what are the new tricks?
I had some training in scrambler therapy with the inventor of the therapy, so it was so eye-opening and enlightening, and it's just very exciting.
Explain to us again what scrambler therapy is.
Scrambler therapy is electroanalgesia, meaning it's electric stim for chronic neuropathic pain.
Is this something that is widely used and or accepted around the world?
Widely accepted, yes. Widely used, no, but we're looking to change that. It's growing. There are more and more practitioners signing on all the time and getting the advanced certification as well. So there's a growing number across country, and it's only going to get better.
Matthew Goodemote, always good to see you here. How are things at Goodemote Sports and Performance?
Things are good, Ray.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You care to elaborate while you have a moment?
Sure. So this summer, I spent most of my time working with my son at Broad Alban High School, helping the athletes get stronger. So that's been a lot of fun.
So, you know, as I understand it, and from what I read in your bio, you collaborate with some of these schools to increase the quality of the strength and conditioning programs.
Yeah.
What do high schools, and I'm not saying Broad Alban, but in general, what do they get wrong?
There's a few big things. One thing is overtraining. And there's, for example, the old way, as you probably remember back in your days, in my days, it was to run, do lots of conditioning type things.
Yeah, I didn't do a lot of that.
Okay.
But I did. I'll take your word for it. That's fine.
So that beats up the body, and it's not helping athletic performance. So the way to help athletic performance is to work on sport-specific movements, strength training, speed, power, acceleration. Those in exercise physiology all lean towards fast twitch type muscle movements. And conditioning, although very important for cardiovascular function, is not to make you run faster, jump higher, things like that.
Interesting. So, now, have you had occasion to either farm out a client to a massage therapist, or has a massage therapist sent a client to you?
Both. In my former practice, one of my close friends is a massage therapist, so I routinely recommend massage therapy. It's incredibly beneficial, and vice versa. So my area of expertise, I do a little bit of manual therapy, but compared to a massage therapist who does it all day, every day, it's not the same world.
So, really?
Yeah, my technique is a 5-10 minute manual session, and that's where I call it quits.
Is that pathetic, Laura?
I don't know if I want to use that word right next to Matthew here.
Okay.
But.
Oh, it's okay.
The number here is 800-348-2551 if you have a physical and or massage therapy question for Matthew Goodemote and Laura Brown. Pam in Milton, Delaware writes in, I'm a 72-year-old active woman with adult onset scoliosis. In addition to doing some yoga moves and weight control, I've done extensive PT, including the Scroth method. Yeah. I've also tried acupuncture with no results. Anything else you can recommend?
For scoliosis specifically, so the Scroth method is just a technique developed by a German woman, I believe.
Named Scroth?
Yes.
All right.
I hope so. And it's basically trying to strengthen to the stretch side of the curve and stretch the shortened side of the curve to that effect. But with it as a result of degenerative changes as we get older, I'm a big fan of just strengthening period and working on other exercises, postural and general movement patterns. So yoga is great for things like that. But it is very tricky once you get into the degenerative changes because the spine is structurally changed and it's hard to reverse that.
Laura Brown, your expertise is in deep tissue massage, at least prior to your association with the Scrambler technology. Is there anything with these skeletal issues that massage can do?
Absolutely. Like Matthew said, I'm really excited because I didn't realize I was doing the Scroff method, but that's pretty much what we do.
How about that?
The shortened side of the curve is over tight because the muscles have shortened on that side and the other side has lengthened, so they're over lengthened and weak. So what a massage therapist will typically do with the hands-on is work the tightened tissue.
Aha. Uh-huh. Our number is 800-348-2551. Laura Brown from Capital Region Therapeutic Massage is here, and Matthew Goodemote from Goodemote Sports and Performance. This is from Jerry. I'm a 65-year-old retiree and have suffered with low back problems for most of my adult life, which is not surprising given that I performed physical work over the years. I had severe sciatica back in 2011, for which they prescribed a nerve block. Friends who had the procedure told me it didn't work for them. It worked beautifully for me, says Jerry. Painless up until recently. It's beginning to rear its ugly head again. I've had success with a skilled massage therapist for relief. Laura Brown, what do you do in that instance?
Well, I would be very curious to understand a little bit more, maybe hopefully collaborate with his physician and find out why he has the sciatica, because people talk about sciatica like it's a diagnosis, but we need to know why it's there, because there's a few different reasons someone could have sciatica, and the reason why sort of helps direct us and focus our treatment a little bit more.
Interesting.
So is he having a herniated disc? Is he having a natural progression of disc disease where it's just thinning out? So in that would tell us a lot. Is they having facet arthropathy because the discs are flattening out? So a little bit more information, and he may have just been told that he has sciatica. He may not know, so a little collaboration might be in order.
I'm glad you brought that up. Matthew, we've talked over the years about sciatica, and isn't it sort of a generalized term that people really don't? It doesn't apply in all cases?
Yeah, it's a huge pet peeve of mine, too, because there's oftentimes people have back pain and they're told they have sciatica. So a true sciatica is something that goes down into the leg and travels along the nerve root. And so if it's not doing that, I don't like to call it sciatica. I'd like to just call it back pain. And the gentleman who said he had issues decades ago or at least years ago, so that could have been an inflamed nerve root, which is why the injection worked.
And what is a nerve block?
Basically, that's cortisone shot.
Ah.
Well, there's different types because there's also a rhizotomy where they go in and they actually burn the nerve. I don't think that's what he meant, but typically it's going to be something along the lines of a cortisone shot. That's like a first round that they would typically do. And if it's an inflammatory condition, then it does have positive benefits. And if it's not an inflammatory condition, it won't have any effects. So that's probably why his friends didn't have that. And so this case, just like Laura said, we have to identify what's the actual source of it, because if it's an inflamed nerve root, then the injections can be helpful. If it's not, then it has to go in a different route.
So would this be a situation where this guy would go to a doctor first, and then the doctor would say, you need massage therapy, you need physical therapy.
Yeah, I mean, in PT world, you have direct access now, so you can go directly to a PT, and a good PT will be able to discern through history what's going on with the patient, and if they're uncomfortable with identifying specifically what it is, they would then refer it on to a physician. So more and more PTs are very comfortable in that place, and I certainly am with spine. I have no problem someone coming in that hasn't been to, I probably shouldn't say out loud, but I don't look at the reports and things like that ahead of time because I want to hear it from the patient first.
Okay.
To see what I think, and then I go look at everything and see what the doctor says.
But you do look at the reports eventually.
Yes, 99% of the time.
Right? Okay, all right. Laura, you want a last word on this before we hit the break?
Sure. By the time people get to me, they've usually been down the whole gamut, so they have their reports with them, and it's easier for me to actually read those reports and see what the doctor said. Absolutely agree with Matt, though, that the patient history has a lot to do with it. What positions are good for them? What positions are bad for them? Does it matter? And then from there, we can sort of discern what the problem is probably, because we don't have our MRI glasses on, but we can probably discern what the problem is and take it from there.
Let's take a quick break here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. VoxPop at WAMC.org is the email address. Only just begun we have. Matthew Goodemode and Laura Brown are here today, and we'll be back. To my mind, this is one of the most underappreciated guitarists of the rock era. There's Jan Ackerman. The band is Focus from the 70s out in Holland. 800-348-2551. Hey, listen, live event with yours truly over at the Hart Clewitt Museum, August 26th. If you have some antiques, some tchotchkes and whatnot, we have the folks from Stair Galleries going to be there to give you verbal appraisals of your antiques. And we'll talk to Kathy Sheehan, who is the Hart Clewitt Museum boss and the Rensselaer County historian. Should be a good time. You can find out more at WAMC.org and look for the link that says WAMC on the road. I think that's what the link says. We're joined today by Laura Brown of Capital Region Therapeutic Massage in Clifton Park and Matthew Goodemode from Goodemode Sports and Performance. It is a massage therapy, physical therapy doubleheader on the program. We'll go back to the emails in a little bit, but let's go to the phones, and we'll start in Ravenna. Laura's on.
Miles, traffic light, camera ahead.
Hello, Laura. Yes, whatever that was, let's not do that again.
Yes.
You're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a 67-year-old who had knee replacement surgery, both knees 2 years apart, 7 and 5 years ago. And I recovered and was doing well, but starting about a year ago, my right knee started having severe pain, and it's just been getting worse and worse. Okay. I saw a pain specialist, and I had an ablation, I had a lumbar block, but have not had relief. I live an active lifestyle. I hike a lot. I exercise a lot. And this is really impeding my ability to do those things.
Maybe the exercise is the problem here.
Hey,
it's not it. All right, Laura, you want first dibs on this?
This sounds like something that would be a good collaboration between PT and massage. I think in this case, massage would play a supportive role. And I think that she belongs in the physical therapy realm. But what other problems are you having? I would look at the whole body. Whereas I think... this would be a good job for a PT.
I'm curious about why the lumbar stuff when the question was about the knee. So you had a knee replacement, two replacements, a 7 year and 5 years. So why did they do the work in the lumbar spine? What was the connection to the knee with that?
It was a lumbar block, which is to do the nerve, you know, to affect the nerve in the knee.
Okay.
Could you, what's a lumbar block?
So I'm still confused. I'm sorry. So I understand. So the nerves in the lumbar spine, there's the L3, L4 will go down and tour the knee joint, and you can do a block and that will inhibit the nerve. So it's basically to block the pain that goes down the sensory part of the nerve to that area. I'm just curious why they went to the lumbar spine to block the pain in the knee if they, instead of just doing it locally, in other words, why wouldn't they start at the knee to do a block there to see if that had an effect? And it's leading me down a path of wondering, is there something going on in the lower back that's leading to you having knee pain? And the reason for the knee pain isn't the knee replacements, but it's actually stemming from something above in the lumbar spine.
Well, I had an ablation.
Yep, in the lumbar.
So maybe it's because the ablation didn't work. That was in my knee.
Oh,
the ablation was
okay.
In my knee.
Okay.
So maybe because the ablation didn't work,
they're trying to
they
go above.
Thought,
sure. Sure.
Yeah, they tried a lumbar.
Yeah, well, that does make sense then.
Block.
So they started at locally, and it didn't have the effect. So then they're going above in the proximal area. So the first part, Laura, would be to evaluate your spine thoroughly and make sure that it's not the actual source of your knee pain. That's how I would start and work my way down. And oftentimes when people came in with knee pain, I would say it's not the knee, it's coming from the hip or coming from the foot. So you have to get the whole thing evaluated. And with a knee replacement, the joint itself there's not soft tissue in there anymore if they did a total knee replacement. So there's not really a source of pain from the joint. It would be all the tissue around it. So that would be muscles and ligaments and stuff like that that are all affected by how your hip is moving and how your foot is moving. So the assessment I would want to do is to look at the whole leg and see to try to identify, can we identify where the source of this is coming from? And then based on that, provide the program.
Laura, thank you very much for the call. It's 800-348-2551. If you have a question for Laura Brown of Capital Region Therapeutic Massage and or Matthew Goodemote of Goodemote Sports and Performance, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. E writes in, the seat of my SUV is longer than my femur. This seems to change my posture when driving, forcing me to be sitting on my coccyx. I think that this is what caused sciatica in me, and even far younger people who never had this problem before. My previous vehicles never had this seat since the seat never came up to my knee. I tried to modify my seating position by adding a pad behind my back. This seems to improve and heal the problem, but mechanics claim it's not legal to modify seating in a vehicle. Any suggestions?
Okay. That's a new one on me. If you got to do what you got to do.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't re-weld your seat unless it's broken.
No. Yeah. Oh, okay. I understand. Okay. But she's absolutely wise to put a pad behind her back, I think, because it sounds like, I don't know if the pain is going down her leg. Definitely it could be coccydynia. So
can you spell that?
I can, but I don't want to.
Don't. You know, sometimes driving long distances, I will have pain, and I found that straightening my leg out, putting the seat back further and bringing the wheel closer really helps.
Yeah, I just recommend adjusting, period. So having a lumbar roll, you can roll up a towel and do the same thing to create an arch in your back. And then I generally recommend after about 30 minutes taking that out so you can flatten the back out. And just like you said, Ray, drive a little closer with your knees bent, push it back so your knees are straight. I even recommend shifting your weight onto one butt cheek and then switching onto the other one. So you're just constantly adjusting in the seat. The research shows that sitting for more than 30, 45 minutes is it. And so when we're trying to sit in a car ride for 2 hours in the exact same position, especially as you aren't as young as you used to be, Ray. So
what? You know, a buddy of mine was a long haul trucker. Mm. They all have back issues.
Yes.
I mean, you're in that seat for 15, 18 hours at a time.
Yep.
It can be tough. Barbara writes in for Matthew. A few years ago on the show, you mentioned a doctor in I don't remember this, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a doctor in Saratoga who was having good results with injections for bad knees as an alternative to knee replacement. Do you still recommend that?
I still have seen this. So it's stem cells.
And
stem cells and PRP is what I probably was advocating because I saw really good results with that. So that's platelet-rich plasma. And more orthopedists are doing that in all the big facilities, bone and joint and otherwise. And basically, they're just taking your blood out, putting in a centrifuge, and then putting the white blood cells and the plasma back in. And
what's it supposed to do?
It's better than cortisone, or I shouldn't say it that way. It's similar to cortisone. cortisone has been shown more and more to cause problems. So the more injections you have, the more breakdown of tissue, soft tissue. So you can break down cartilage, break down tendons, things like that, whereas your own blood does not. And the own blood has an anti-inflammatory property to it.
Oh, okay. You know, we see professional athletes getting PRP yeah. all the time. Exactly. So I assume that these huge sports organizations know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I still don't know what it's supposed to do. You take the blood out, you run yep. it through a centrifuge, yep. and then you put it back in. What's the difference?
So when you're putting that back in, the when you have an injury in your body naturally sends these things to your body to help you heal. And they have the qualities of repair and they have the qualities of anti-inflammation. So the initial inflammation brings all the good ingredients in. So you want that initially and as the body is healing, but eventually you want to get rid of it. And so by injecting that back into your body, then you're getting those same benefits. You're triggering the response of healing in the body. And so it's been shown to have great benefit for tendons, again, great benefit for cartilage. And if I was going to go down the road of a knee replacement, then it's because I've tried these other things first and they haven't worked, personally.
Laura, nothing to add to that?
No, sir. He covered it.
Laura Brown is here from Capital Region Therapeutic Massage. Matthew Goodemote from Goodemote Sports and Performance. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. And the number is 800-348-2551. Keith is in Elka Park. Keith.
Yes. Hi, Ray. Thanks for many chuckles over the years. And I just have a question regarding an inguinal hernia and whether they have any recommendations as to could I avoid surgery by some physical exercises.
Yeah, that's not a common thing physical therapists would do. I wouldn't.
What's
feel
an inguinal hernia?
It's where the intestines are protruding out. Is that the inguinal?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So it's outside of the PT scope. So if you came into the clinic with something like that, I'd actually refer you back to a physician for it. As far as I know, like the procedures for surgery are so effective and it's rare that they don't work. And when they don't work, they can repeat. And it's not a huge major surgery. Every surgery is not a great surgery, but that's one that's incredibly effective and would right. be the way to go. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Ray, can I
Thank
make
you
a,
very much.
Sure.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Keith. Go ahead.
Sorry. Can I make a con? The woman who called before, there's something about I had mentioned stem cells as well. And the stem cells procedures are, both of these procedures, whether you're doing a PRP or stem cells or any type of procedure like that, it depends on the person. Because if you have a knee that's completely degenerated, neither one of those things is going to be helpful. So I don't want to give the impression that everybody who needs a knee replacement should have these first, because I heard myself say that, and that's not true. It's depending.
I thought
on
stem them. Cells. I thought you couldn't do much with that in New York.
No, it's legal to do. It's just the insurances don't pay for it.
Aha.
So. Yeah.
That could be pricey, I'm sure. This email from Clayton. It's about Calmare. Is it Calmare or Calmar? Calmar?
It's Calmare. Right. Calmare is a brand name. We're trying to call it Scrambler Therapy.
Okay. Well, this subject heading is Calmare okay. Pain Therapy.
Okay.
This is from Clayton in Taconic. After an extensive ankle break in May of 22 and multiple surgeries to repair the break, my partner is in constant pain from apparently injured or severed nerves. Can Calmare therapy potentially provide relief? He's tried everything, nearly everything else, drug therapy, deep massage, acupuncture, etc.
It could potentially help, and what we can do is a free consultation, so we get a pretty good idea of, before you even come in, of you know, are there other contraindications, what medications you're on. There are some things we have to get cleared up before, and then with a 1, 2, maybe 3 sessions, we'll know, because we'll have some results in that period of time. So we'll know before we get really far down the road if it's going to help or not.
You and I have talked about this before, but explain the concept of this therapy.
The therapy is that we're after an injury is healed, the brain can get stuck in a loop where it's remembering the pain, even though the injury has healed. So what we're going to do is go in and we're delivering an algorithm through the C fiber of the nerve. So that pain signal gets scrambled into one of no pain. And it's also presenting itself as self. So it's presenting as your own body, giving your brain the message. So it's receiving a no pain message instead of a pain message. So eventually that signal holds and overrides the pain signal. After a series of treatments, the relief holds longer and longer, And eventually that's the overriding signal that the brain's getting.
Now, you're one of the only people around here doing this. Why is that?
It's just not widely known. It's also legal but not covered by insurance. It's a lengthy process, so it's something as a massage therapist and a PT, I'm used to one-on-one for at least an hour, so it's not a problem. For, but it's often in physicians' offices, and to dedicate the staff for that long to one patient is something that is not commonly done.
Matthew, are you familiar with this process?
I haven't heard of the specifics of, I understand all the things she's saying and the treatments, and eSTM has, of course, been written up in research for decades, and it's a very effective tool. It's interesting to hear the methodology and what the process is, and certainly for people who are dealing with chronic pain, man, if you can have relief, it's definitely worth going for. So
the number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. If you have a physical therapy question for Matthew Goodemote or a massage therapy question for Laura Brown, Marion Rensselaerville writes in, I am suffering from a piriformis injury that radiates down the front of my upper leg to my outer knee. It stops there. The injury stems from repeated sports use thanks to advanced pickleball play. I'm 68 and a lifelong athlete. I rest a few days a week but will not take a prolonged period off. I can rest fully when dead. Any nicely said. Any recommendations for rehab to facilitate recovery?
I have lots of thoughts on that. So the first is it's an unusual presentation for a piriformis to radiate to the front of the thigh. It's a different nerve root that goes to the front of the thigh. That's the femoral nerve, and the piriformis is the sciatic nerve. So that's the first mystery to me, and it would warrant investigation. So there's often times that people have been diagnosed with piriformis syndrome because they have a tight piriformis, but it's still coming from the lumbar spine. And so based on what she wrote, I would say that this is a lumbar spine issue with a tight glute and neurological symptoms in the front of the
Interesting.
Thigh.
Interesting. Yeah. You will often say it's not exactly where you think. The problem is elsewhere.
Yes.
If you were dealing with this problem, Laura Brown, what would you recommend?
I really like what Matthew had to say. I would also wonder if because of her pain, she was her gait, her active play, if her mechanics were off, and I would try to also investigate, does she have a hip bursitis that's radiating around to the front of the leg?
What's bursitis again?
Bursitis is an inflammation of our joints have little sacs of synovial fluid to cushion. So when we move, we don't bang bone into other bone. We have a little cushion in there called the bursa sac. And if that's inflamed, it usually radiates, the hip usually radiates around to the groin, but maybe it's upper thigh as well. So yeah, I would say that's worth an investigation.
And then there's also the issue, is it a true piriformis in the sense that there's a restriction in the tissue, or is that the symptom that there's tightness there because of something above or below? And is there a weakness that's, like she's saying, like Laura was saying, is contributing to the mechanical issues? Does she compensate using one muscle group over another? Things like that. Those are the fun parts of PT that you get to investigate and
detective work.
Yeah, exactly.
Laura, you ever play pickleball?
If you can call it playing, yes.
Really? Yes, do you like it?
I like it, but I'm not what you would call a very good pickleball player.
What about you, Matthew?
I have not, but in Denmark they play a thing called paddle tennis, which is similar to pickleball, the same like size rackets, but it's with a tennis ball, and it's I have played that, and I'm not good, Ray.
No. So pickleball is played with an actual pickle, not a ball? What are we talking about?
Pickleball is named after the dog pickle.
Oh, that's
it's
right.
A wiffle
that's
ball.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a wiffle ball.
Yeah.
So
you're
playing with a tennis ball overseas, potentially more dangerous.
Yes. Yes. Especially my wife played a lot of racket sports.
Yeah.
She's a very good badminton player in Denmark, played high level stuff. And she routinely humiliates me when we play racket
sports. Well, isn't that nice? That'll keep you in your place. All right. Very quickly here before the next break. Ed writes in, oh no, knees. Replacement knees can wear out or just not be good. Replacement is easy and straightforward. Physical therapy is not going to solve it. When do the therapists know surgery is preferable to more PT?
It's actually the patient who knows, and it's a common thing that you'll hear from orthopedists. The really good surgeons will say, when you're ready, you'll be ready. You know it's time. From a PT point of view, if people still have full range of motion and they don't have swelling and they're functioning at a high level, I think PT is still warranted. And you can generally see the trend going south when swelling doesn't go away, function starts to deteriorate, pain increases, all those things. No matter what you do, that's where I start to say, okay, the writing's on the wall.
You know, Laura Brown, you are fully trained back in the day in physical therapy. You have a master's in physical therapy. Do you ever miss that angle of it?
When dinosaurs roamed the earth?
Well, yeah, I don't know. You're pretty young still. but I mean, you ever get that calling, I want to do physical therapy again, or do you just want to stay with massage, deep tissue massage?
Well, you can take the girl out of the PT, but you can't take the PT out of the girl. So I get enough scratch to that itch in massage therapy because people that come to me often know that I am both. So I don't get a lot of spa massages. I do get problems to solve.
Yeah.
And they're right up my alley because they're not too complicated because I've been out of outpatient for a long time, but they are fun. So I do get all that I want.
Physical therapy is fun. You agree?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Yeah. All right. Physical therapy is fun. And on that happy note, we'll take a break. 800-348-2551. If you would like to share the fun of physical and or massage therapy, call in. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC, Ray Graff with you. It's Massage Therapy Today with Laura Brown and Physical Therapy with Matthew Goodemote. And let's grab a couple of emails and then we'll go back to the phones. Ed from Wilbraham. I'm a 75-year-old male in excellent physical shape. I just climbed Mount Washington 2 weeks ago. I do strength training 2 to 3 times a week. What's the best way to maintain strength? Heavier weights with fewer reps and sets, or lighter weights with more reps and sets? And that's from Ed.
So if you're talking strength specifically, then I would go with the heavier weights and fewer reps.
Okay.
Hypertrophy is different, getting muscles bigger, but he's 75, so that's a lot of work for no big benefit. So yes, I would go with the heavier weights and fewer sets. Technique is more important than both of those, though. Good technique and consistency.
Yeah.
It'll keep them out of my office.
Aha. Oh, fair enough. Well, maybe we shouldn't say that then. Juliana writes in, my truck seats are uncomfortable for me, too. Maybe trucks are designed for tall people. Mm. I'm 5'5". Mm. I find the lumbar support isn't the key for me in my Toyota Tundra. I move the front of the power seat as low as it'll go, making the back of the sitting part as high as possible. Then I roll a towel to sit on right under my seat bones, which helps me sit more level and makes all the difference. Riding horses helps my seat bone awareness. Mm-hmm. And that's from Juliana.
Yeah. I agree with all that. It depends on the person. I equally don't fit the lumbar supports that are in cars. I'm 6'3", so they're often too low for my back. So I have lumbar rolls in my car that I use, and I adjust the seats up and down based on whatever car I'm in. So
this email from Joe. I hope I can say this correctly. Anticholis accompanying Parkinson's disease. Any recommendations for Parkinson's-related anticholis in a 74-year-old male? I can no longer raise my head and look up without leaning back in a chair. If I lay on my back, the back of my head is about 3 inches from the ground. My neck musculature is extremely tight. And that's from Joe. What do you think, Laura?
I would advise him to not only seek PT, but maybe a therapist specializing in myofascial release. I think that could help. I have only once used scrambler therapy on Parkinson's. That's an off-label use, I must say.
Uh-huh.
It was successful for tremors. I do not, and rigor, but it was an off-label use, so I cannot say that it would help him.
Matt, what do you think?
I don't have a lot of experience with it, but I would say similarly, you have to and try the best to increase mobility in the area, because if the restrictions are too great, then it doesn't matter how hard you try to get back, it won't go back. And if it's caused from a neurological reason, then it's a tricky thing, and you would go to somebody who actually has experience doing that type of work.
All right, and one more email, and then we'll go back to the phones. This is from John and Rensselaer. Please detail the pros and cons of manipulation under anesthesia after knee replacement surgery. 2 months after surgery, my supine range of motion is 95 degrees. I have no idea what I just read.
Okay. So the manipulation under anesthesia is to try to break up scar tissue. And for me, 2 months is close, but not quite long enough to go down that road.
Yeah.
Because the scar tissue can take a little bit longer to form and mature. So I would still be advocating for trying to get range of motion. I have found after knee replacement, swelling is the number one reason to limit motion and has to be addressed. And there's lots and lots of people who aren't, and they get frustrated their knee's not bending. But if it's a big swollen knee, it's not going to bend. So assuming that the swelling is gone, then I would stop being in supine, which is laying on your back to do the knee flexion. And I would sit up with my back supported against the bed so that I could get leverage with my hands to really crank on the knee, because it is time to crank on the knee. And manual therapy would be also a very wise choice. I had a massage therapist that worked with me, and he loved working on the scars of knee replacements to keep them nice and mobile, and just the soft tissue everywhere around the leg would be beneficial.
Yeah, my thought was, is the knee swollen as well? So massage therapy, not only good for muscle, helps with swelling.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't the scars there for a reason, though?
Yes and no. I mean, they're to close the wound so you don't get an infection and die. But
right.
Past that, they should be mobile still, right? So after a certain period of time, the adhesions will get caught on tissue below and they'll restrict your mobility and or cause pain. And that's not normal. So you'd want to free that up. And that manual therapy is a great way to do it. And then, again, cranking on it. And yeah.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the number. Matthew Goodemote is here from Goodemote Sports and Performance. Laura Brown from Capital Region Therapeutic Massage. Let's go back to the phones. Chris is in Housatonic. Chris, you're on.
Yeah, Matthew and Judy. Couple of things. When I was growing up, I was an average golfer. I still am.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very bad back, my back flew out on me when I was swinging the golf club.
Yeah.
And then when they took an x-ray of my back, my spinal cord was a little curvature, and the doctor said that you were born with only 4 vertebrae.
Oh.
Is that true?
It can be, yes.
Young people?
Yep, it can be. Yep, there are people who are born with 6 vertebrae instead of 5. So, yep, 6, 4, yep.
The other thing is what Lori was saying is I would get phlebitis on my lower leg.
Mm-hmm.
And one night I was bowling, and it was very, very painful. My mom was with me, and she didn't know what was wrong with me until she looked on my leg, and she didn't know what it was.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I had to go to the hospital, and the doctor knew right away it was phlebitis.
Yeah. Phlebitis. Okay. Anybody want to comment on the phlebitis?
I don't mess with phlebitis.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris.
Medical procedure.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Woodstock, and it's Shira. You're on.
Hi. How are you? Thank you. Can you hear me? Am I good?
Yes,
you're good.
Thanks. So my mom's 81, and up until a couple years ago, she was very active and healthy. A couple years ago, it started to go a little downhill. Mainly, her back is, they said she has spinal stenosis in her lower back.
Yes.
And it's got to the point where she can't even stand up all the way.
Yeah.
And it's discouraging her from moving, you know, any activity. And it feels like it's just getting worse. She's had a couple of different, cortisone shots that really did absolutely nothing. I'm wondering if either physical therapy or massage is kind of recommended or any benefit.
So when you start to get more and more advanced degeneration in the spine, the stenosis will start to encroach on the nerve roots, and that causes difficulty with things like standing and walking. And I'm saying that specifically because oftentimes I've treated patients with stenosis who had pain with sitting, and that's not the cause of pain with stenosis. So stenosis is specifically standing and walking type of activities. And yes, physical therapy is definitely something that should be tried. And there's exercises to increase mobility, to work on posture, to make sure she's safe when she's walking. There's all kinds of gait activities to do. All of those things to encourage and facilitate movement. And she would also do very, very well in the water if she likes pool therapy, because there the stenosis isn't relevant and she can do all kinds of exercises and be active.
I really love that you brought up the water exercise. That was really good. Absolutely. Massage can help her mitigate some of the pain. You didn't say, I assume, and I hope that she's walking with a walker. I think that would help her. If she is not, I would absolutely have her try a walker. And massage would be fantastic. And if it's going to help mitigate pain, scrambler therapy can help. Although, unfortunately, stenosis is a mechanical problem in the back, so it can't reverse that. So it's more of a, it's more of an episodic treatment than something that will give her permanent relief.
Yeah, I always felt like if it's a really severe stenosis, and let's say she's able to walk 5 minutes, then therapy can help her walk 10 or 15 minutes. It's not going to be walking an hour. And as Laura said, having an assessment to find out what type of assistive device is appropriate for her, especially if it's getting worse, that's a it's a huge thing, because falls are definitely a risk factor.
Thanks, Shira, for the call. So stenosis is narrowing of the spinal
canal.
And this is, you can't get, it doesn't go away once you have it, right?
Correct. But it's, again, there's lots of times it's diagnosed on x-ray and the symptoms don't match the x-rays. So that's the only point I was trying to make in the beginning, that you have to make sure that it is a true stenosis clinically, as well as objectively on the x-rays or MRI. And then you're correct, Ray. Once it starts, you can slow it, I would say, by doing exercise and working on your mobility and getting soft tissue work and things like that. But stop it is a strong word.
All right, let's go to Hudson. John, you're on.
Oh, I tuned in a little late, so I wanted to see if you could remind me what the lesser known therapy for chronic pain was. Was it the scrambler therapy?
Yes, scrambler therapy. It's an electric stim treatment. It's just surface electrodes. We surround the pain using dermatome patterns. And what we do is we send a message through the C fiber of the nerve to tell the brain that there is no pain rather than pain. So we scramble the pain message into one of no pain, and that overrides the pain signal eventually. That's what the brain grasps onto. And we hope to get elimination of pain, but at least a 50% or more reduction of pain.
Interesting. And are there people that it won't work for?
Yes, there's absolutely. Unfortunately, it's not for every type of pain. It's for neuropathic pain.
Yeah, so I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking more for my wife, who has interstitial cystitis pain. And do you think that this therapy would be effective for that?
My gut reaction is unfortunately no. Maybe more of a laser would be helpful to mitigate some of the pain. But anything with itis on the end is not something I typically recommend scrambler for.
Matthew, you want to have a crack at that one?
I don't know a lot about the different techniques Laura's talking about. The for chronic pain, my approach has always been to identify if what the source of things are.
Yeah.
I agree with inflammation, the things like lasers and ultrasound, stuff like that, is it brings blood flow to the area, and that can help to reduce the inflammation. So.
John, thanks for the call. So if I understand the scrambler idea, are you fooling the brain that the pain is no longer there? I mean, couldn't you do that with hypnosis or acupuncture or something like that?
I don't know about that much about acupuncture, to be honest with you. Hypnosis is a great tool if it works. But are we fooling the brain? No, we're actually changing the neuroplasticity of the brain. We're changing the signal that is going to the brain.
Are there side effects? Around with the brain?
No.
No?
Good side effects of
okay.
No more pain, yeah.
All right, let's go to New Baltimore. Deborah, you're on.
Hi, I had a bad motorcycle accident in 1990, and after 2 years of trying to deal with the pain, I had a compressed fracture. I had fusion of 2, 3, and 4, and I swim. I'm a little overweight. I'm 66. But I'm finding that lately, if I walk a lot, my legs tighten up to the point where I can't walk. Like my spine is telling them, we're not doing this anymore. So curious what kind of stretching. I do acupuncture. Should I do, I don't know. I don't know what to do to get that stiffness.
Yeah. There's a few thoughts I have. So the fusion area is probably not the source of it. It's probably the ones above and below it that are giving you the grief now. So that would be the first thought, is to address and find where specifically in the legs you're getting that fatigue, to match it with potentially what's going on above. And then your idea of stretching is a good one. I would go with mobility work for the spine and lower extremity, but then I would do a boatload of strengthening as well. So the body really responds well when you get some movement going and some strengthening going, especially with things like gait.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, that's helpful. So heavy weight, low rep, that would work?
Yeah, but again, it would be starting with identifying where the legs are bothering you, because if it's the L5, S1 area, then you might just need specific stretches to alleviate that, and that would allow you to get back to walking and your normal activities. But just because of the fusions where you had them and for how long they've been there, they're probably not the source of it anymore because they're fused. So it's the joint above and joint below that I would look to see if that's what's causing those symptoms in the legs. And then if it wasn't something like that, then yes, I would go to the strengthening, and it would be a general program of lower body and core. I'd even do upper body. Yeah, I'm a big advocate of strengthening, so yes, I would do that.
Deborah, thanks for the call. To Steventown we go. It's Edward's turn. Edward, go ahead. You have about a minute here. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, you have about a minute or slightly less now. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, let me get right to the point. My cat does massage therapy on me.
Oh, this sounds dangerous.
And you would think I'm joking, but I'm totally serious.
Okay.
But since the pain has gone away, she just feels my shoulders. And then if she feels I don't need a massage, she won't massage them.
That's wonderful,
so,
Edward.
It's not really a question, but I can tell you kind of like some humor in there.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's it. This, and you know, animals
totally
have an innate
on
ability.
The up and up, not for humor.
They do have an innate ability.
I just wanted to let you know that. My cat is taking care of my my massage therapy.
That's
so,
your acupuncture,
she's
probably.
A good cat.
That's tremendous, Edward. I'm so happy for you and your cat. Very quickly to Sarah in Beckett, Mass. Sarah, you only got about 30 seconds.
Oh, great! Thank you. So I had a knee replacement a year ago, exactly, right knee replacement, and that's going fine. But my right buttock hurts me. Often, and not when I walk, but usually after I've done some driving, etc.
Okay.
When it's really hard to sleep.
Yeah.
And it just hurts. So I don't know where it's coming from.
15 seconds.
It's your back.
it's the back.
Yeah. So I would start with getting an assessment of the lumbar spine. Buttock pain is often coming from the lower lumbar spine, and getting the right stretches will help.
Now, Laura, if we could get Steven's cat to massage her buttocks, would that possibly work?
No. You could get a little combo massage acupuncture, maybe.
All right, well, we're done here, and on a very surreal note. Laura Brown, how do people find out more about your thing?
They can visit my website at laurabrownptpllc.com.
And Matthew Goodemote.
Goodemotesp.com.
You guys were great. Thanks for being here. Support comes from the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls. Features Architectural, a new exhibition of modern paintings, photographs, and prints on view June 7th through September 28th. Open Thursday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., HydeCollection.org. Dr. Brian Strickler at Schenectady Eye Associates, offering comprehensive eye care, including modern technology, cataract surgery, SchenectadyEyeSurgery.com. And the Glimmer Glass Festival, presenting their 50th anniversary season, celebrating the art of making art with 5 main stage productions and special 50th anniversary events. More at GlimmerGlass.org. Thanks again to Matthew Goodemote and Laura Brown for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls. Thanks to our engineer. He's new. I didn't write it down. Is it Riley Phillips? Yes, I remembered it even without help. I almost said Philip Riley again, but it's Riley Phillips. Thanks to Zach Malloy, too, who just basically stood around and gave orders. Thanks to Andrea DeLeon. I give it up. Leon, you know what? I'm retiring today. If I'm back tomorrow at 2, it's astronomy. I'm not even sure. Whatever.